If you are a teacher, parent, administrator, student, and/or anyone who loves reconnecting children with nature, and you want to figure out how to cultivate learning gardens and nature-based curriculum, then this is the podcast, the Outdoor Classrooms Podcast. My name is Victoria Hackett. I am the founder of OutdoorClassrooms.com and the Secret Gardens Nature Classes. I love witnessing the magic that happens when children are playfully learning outdoors. Observing the return of wonder and curiosity when children are interacting with nature is pure magic. This is the podcast that is going to help you capture children's interest and give you not only inspiration, but some real life strategies that are going to help you figure out how to use the outdoor space, your outdoor space, as a teaching tool, so you can enlighten the playful learning experience for young children. Welcome to our Outdoor Classrooms community. Welcome back to the Outdoor Classrooms podcast, where we explore the art, science, and the heart of teaching and learning outdoors. I am your host, Victoria, and today we're diving into one of my very favorite topics, setting goals for the new year in your outdoor classroom through the lens of the four types of teaching gardens. If you've been following along in our latest seedling news, which comes out weekly, you may remember that I shared a PDF filled with reflective questions, questions designed to help you dream, plan, and intentionally grow your outdoor teaching practice. Today, I'm bringing those questions to life. You're going to walk through each of the four different garden types: gardens that feed, gardens that attract wildlife, gardens for art and beauty, and gardens as outdoor learning station. And we'll explore how each one can support a well-rounded, developmentally rich outdoor classroom in the coming year. So grab your notebook, a warm drink, and if you're outside, take a look around. Let's imagine what's possible garden by garden. So before we jump in to the four different types of teaching gardens, I want to start with the heart of this episode. Why set goals at all? Outdoor classrooms are living systems. They evolve with the seasons, the children, the curriculum, and your own growth as an educator. So setting goals clarifies your direction. It helps you prioritize limited time and resources, and it keeps you and your garden spaces purposeful instead of overwhelming. So in the seedling news, in that PDF that I put in there this past week, I asked a simple but powerful question. What do you want your outdoor classroom to become this upcoming new year? I want you to take a moment to think about that. Really sit with that question. Do you want it to be more nourishing? Do you want it to be more artistic or more aligned with nature and wildlife? Do you want it to be more structured with predictable learning stations? Or maybe you want all four balanced and harmonious. As you move through each garden type, I'll revisit many of those guiding questions and help you translate them into practical, doable next steps. So let's begin with the first garden type, gardens that feed. These are your vegetable patches, herb spirals, berry bushes, orchard corners, sensory food gardens, and even micro gardens in containers. Thinking about some of those reflective questions from the PDF, they included, what food plants did children connect with last year? So really looking back on what has worked, what grew well, what didn't grow well, what didn't work with the kids, what did they enjoy? So how can your food garden reflect your community's cultural diversity? What foods could be incorporated to spark curiosity? So now let's bring those questions into action. Your goals might look like adding three culturally relevant crops this year, creating a quote-unquote snack garden where children can nibble from, setting up a compost system that children can actually manage, expanding a sensory herb garden for calming, tasting, and smelling activities, and introducing a food preparation ritual, salad, teas, pestos, smoothies. Oh, I'm already getting hungry. There's so many teaching opportunities in the Gardens That Feed, and this can be also year-round. So really looking at these food gardens can support life cycles, soil science, nutrition, stewardship, responsibility, cultural appreciation, and actually you can weave in these fine motor tasks like harvesting and plucking and washing. So I want you to imagine a group of children running to the kale bed first thing in the morning, eager to see what's new, or a weekly quote-unquote garden chef role where a child leads a simple snack-making ritual. So I want you to have a takeaway prompt here and to think about this. You can journal it. You can write it down if you're not driving. What edible plants, not too many, do you want to focus on this year and why? So again, we don't want to get overwhelmed and have this huge long list, but think about keeping it simple, but make a list of what edible plants that you want to focus on this upcoming year. And actually answer that question, why do you want to bring those edible plants into your Gardens That Feed? So the next one of the most magical components of an outdoor classroom is the gardens that attract wildlife. These gardens create a habitat and invite animals into the learning environment. So those are pollinator gardens, bird sanctuaries, butterfly patches, mini ponds, log and rock piles, native plant meadows, and also insect hotels. So some of the reflective questions that we can have for the Gardens That Feed are, what wildlife do you see currently in your outdoor space, in your outdoor classroom? What wildlife would you like to invite? So do you have butterflies and those small insects in your outdoor space? Would you like to have more of them? Are there plants or structures that could better support insects, birds, amphibians, or mammals? How can children become citizen scientists in your space? So again, some of those goal-setting examples, planting one new native nectar plant each month. Oh, that's such a great idea. So imagine how that would change your outdoor space. Creating a bird watching station with binoculars and ID cards. Adding a bee hotel or a log habitat. Starting a Who Visited Our Garden tracking board. Also installing a small water source for pollinators and birds. So the magic is in the moments. There's nothing more awe-inspiring than watching a child notice their first monarch caterpillar or witnessing birds gather around a feeder they helped fill. When your garden attracts wildlife, children become observers. The children become protectors, documenters, scientists, storytellers. So for this garden type, your takeaway prompt is to ask this question: which wildlife visitors would you love to see more of this year? And what habitat will help invite them in to your outdoor classroom? It's purely magic. Our children can become advocates to bring the beautiful wildlife into your outdoor classroom. So this garden type is the soul of your outdoor classroom. Gardens for art and beauty elevate the aesthetic and emotional experience. They include color garden, texture gardens, sculpture gardens, nature art installations, reflective spaces, whimsical pathways, flower beds, plant palettes chosen for mood or themes, So some of the reflective questions for this type of gardens are, what colors, textures, or sensory experiences do you want children to interact with? How can your garden spark creativity and storytelling? What natural materials can you offer for open-ended art? We just had our Secret Gardens parent-child session this morning, and one of the little ones just absolutely loves art and creating art. And she was just so excited that it was her first day with us. And she was so excited that we had numerous art activities as invitations for the kiddos. So really, it doesn't matter what the season in, but bringing those natural materials that can offer this open-ended art is so wonderful, such a wonderful opportunity for our kiddos. So with that, the possible goals that you might put into place are to plant a flower palette for the seasonal color study, add a color of the month garden bed, create wind chimes or sound sculpture trail, build a nature loom wall. Oh, I love the vision of that. Introduce an outdoor easel near a garden bursting with bloom. We have an outdoor easel, and it's so simple. It's a shower curtain that's sort of held between two trees, and it's just absolutely wonderful, and the kids love it. So truly, art comes alive when children sit near the marigolds and draw, where they can gather petals for mandalas, where they can weave long grasses into stick frames, where they can photograph dewdrops and turn them into class displays. So your garden for art and beauty becomes a studio, not just a backdrop. So your takeaway prompt for this section is to ask, how do you want children to experience beauty this year in your outdoor classroom? What art-based garden feature could you build or plant or put into your outdoor classroom? So finally, the Gardens as Outdoor Learning Stations are the structural backbone of your outdoor classroom. These are intentional zones where learning happens daily. They include mud kitchens, building zones, water stations, math gardens, literacy nooks, sensory trails, nature steam tables, science, technology, engineering, art, and math, loose parts construction sites, and observation decks. There's just so much that you can do in the Gardens as Outdoor Learning Stations. So some of the reflective questions that I want to ask for this section is to, which stations were the most used last year? So as you can see, there's a pattern here. Is to really, before setting your New Year's goal, it's really important to pause and take a look back, whether on your notes or just your observations, even your pictures, and really take note of what worked and what didn't. What were the most used stations? What were the least used? What skills or curriculum goals do you want to support more intentionally? What routines need refining? What stations feel missing or ready for an upgrade? Some of the goal ideas might be to create a dedicated STEM garden with measurement tools, or to add a storytelling bench near a cozy plant border, or to create rotating seasonal learning stations, or to develop better storage and organization for loose parts, or add a weatherproof signage so children can navigate independently. If you have been around me at all, you will know that I'm a huge fan of creating signs for an outdoor classroom. I truly believe that when signs are added, it transforms any outdoor space from just a bland outdoor space into a learning space. When you add that literacy and the pictures, it tells a story of your outdoor space. And as someone is walking through that outdoor space, they are truly embracing each section that you have created. Making these connections to the garden types, learning stations thrive when surrounded by other garden types. So a mud kitchen near an herb garden, a reading nook near an art garden, a math station beside raised garden vegetable beds. Suddenly the whole classroom becomes cohesive and intuitive. So your takeaway prompt for this is to, what are the top 1 to 2 stations you want to enhance or develop this year? And it may be that you do it quarterly or monthly, that you add stations or take away stations or just keep it fresh. And this is a wonderful thing to do in the gardens as outdoor learning stations. Now that we've walked through all the 4 different types of teaching gardens, let's integrate. So I want to talk about 3 simple steps for your new year garden plan, your outdoor classroom garden plan. Step 1 is to choose 1 goal from each garden type. Okay, just 1, not 5, not 10, just 1 per category. Step 2 is decide what can happen in winter, early spring, or late spring. Break the work into seasons so it feels doable. And step 3 is to communicate your vision. So share it with the children that you're working with. Share it with the families. Share it with co-teachers or volunteers or administrators. Outdoor classrooms thrive when the whole community understands the purpose. So as we step into the new year, remember, outdoor classrooms don't grow from perfection, nor do we even want them to be perfect because they're for children. The beauty is actually in the imperfection. They grow from intention, observation, and small, meaningful steps. It's very, very easy to get completely overwhelmed with creating an outdoor classroom. So if you haven't downloaded the PDF from the Seedling News yet, use it alongside this episode as your reflective companion. So make sure you subscribe to the Seedling News. You can do that on my website at www.outdoor-classrooms.com. And if you want to deepen your practice even more, I invite you to join our incredible Circle membership community where educators grow together into confident, connected leaders of their outdoor classrooms. I can't say enough about this group. So until next time, I'm Victoria. Happy planning, happy planting, and happy growing. As we wrap up today's episode, I want to invite you into something truly special. Something designed to support you through the winter months and set the tone for an inspired, intentional new year. Our Exploring Nature in Winter Masterclass opens January 2nd and will kick things off with a live call on January 8th. This masterclass is part of our seasonal masterclass bundle and is woven right into the Outdoor Classrooms Teacher Certification Program. So whether you're just starting your journey or deepening your practice, you'll be learning alongside a vibrant and supportive community. Winter can be one of the most challenging seasons for outdoor teaching, but it can also become one of the most magical, and that's what we've discovered with this course. Inside this masterclass, you'll gain tools, strategies, inspirations, and be with a community of educators who understand exactly what you're facing. Together, we'll explore how to embrace the beauty, curiosity, and possibilities of the cold weather season. I honestly can't think of a better way to start the new year than by stepping into this learning experience. With guidance, encouragement, and a circle of people cheering you on, if you're ready to begin the new year with clarity, creativity, and confidence outdoors, come join us. I can't wait to see you on the inside. Talk to you soon.